Christmas greetings from beyond the grave.
Happy holidays, folks. This is Bob Christmas Hope live at the shopping mall, you know. I'm wearing a Christmas suit. Gonna ask a bunch of kids what the hell they want for Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, what the hell's your name?
Torten.
How old are you?
Four.
Four? Holy crap. I got pieces of turd older than you. All right, what the hell do you want for Christmas, huh?
Let me see.
Blue cheese, that's something else, yeah.
Dinosaurs.
A dinosaur? How about Dick Clark, huh? Yeah, there's your T-Rex. Breaker 19, this is Bob, kid. Come in, tell me how old you are, you know.
What?
Hey, what's your name, kid?
Nelly.
What the hell do you want for Christmas? What time is it? Holy sh! What an outfit that is, huh? I ain't seen snot like that since General Eisenhower checked into the 777, you know?
You know what I want for Christmas?
No, I don't want to talk to that one. He's ugly. Can you hear me through the beard, kid? That's what Rob Halford said to me the other day. Judas Priest, everybody. Is that something?
Yeah.
What's your name, kid?
Brandon.
Hey, Hi, this is Bob.
No.
How about that Buddy Ebsen? Ow, don't poke me there.
Yeah.
Dolores! You, kid, with the drool on your head, what the hell you want for Christmas, huh? Is this thing working? Yeah, the mom with the ass. Come on over here, I got a question for you, kid. Hey, what's your name, kid?
Joshua.
Yeah, scoot over, kid, you're squishing one of my nuts, you know? How about that prostate, is that something else? Yeah, it hurts. Now, tomorrow I'm going to the proctologist, you know? Yeah, he says he saw a top flight Z2 stuck up my ass. Hi, my name is Bob, what's your name?
Ivan.
What do you want for Hanukkah, kid?
Lego Rumble.
What's that?
Lego Rumble.
No, you're not going to get that, sorry.
Blue and pink.
No, Santa doesn't like you. When I say, what's that, what's that? What am I, what's that? Mary, what's that to you? What? What's that? Hi, and welcome to the deck of the USS Nimitz. I'm Bob Hope. What the hell's your name?
Alex.
What do you want for Christmas, huh?
A real car.
What the hell kind of car do you want, kid?
Cadillac.
Yeah, there's too ghetto in this mall, huh? What's your name, kid? All right, I'm Santa Claus. What the hell do you want for Christmas?
Tow truck.
Yeah, tow truck, huh? Yeah, that's what they use in the Starsky and Hutch show to get David Soul out of the cocaine. Yeah, all I want for Christmas is a lawsuit, you know?
You're crazy.
Hey, kid, hop up on my lap and tell Bob Claus what you want for Christmas.
Baseball and basketball and soccer. Paul.
Yeah, this kid's diaper's wet. Dang it. Merry Christmas, everybody, from Bob Hope. And remember, be sure to ride with the Star of Bethlehem on the Texaco Road. Mall security, come over here, mall security. I got a corn dog in my face.
Nothing makes me prouder than to present this next bit, just a few days away from the birthday of the baby Jesus.
The act that dare not speak its name.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
Where do we start?
Oh,
where
geez.
Do we start?
Here's where we start. There was a big party last night. And Dave, the King of Mexico, the one-man stereotype, and the whore, our sister producer, Alex.
Hello.
Were both drinking and got to Psycho Mike's house about the time he was getting up to come into work.
I've never seen Mike so pissed in my life. Mike was
Wonder
pissed.
Why. Bad enough the guy's going to get up at the crack of midnight to get to work, and then you people come in all drunk and rowdy.
Hey, I had a good time.
Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, guys, let me stop you right there and ask this question. Don't Dave and Alex work on the same show Mike does? Didn't they have to get up and come
into
work?
We're on a special holiday schedule.
Maybe. No. Well, you know, Mike was up at 3:30.
Right.
And I was like, all right, cool. We got about an hour to sleep.
By the way, I don't know if you can tell, but Dave's still drunk.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah. No, I'm not drunk.
I'm not Paul Abdul. So, you know, I look at the clock and I'm like, all right, it's 5:00. Let's get up. And turns out the clock was wrong.
Yeah, it's
it
the
was
clock.
An hour
sure, it was
later.
The clock wrong.
Yeah. Mike, is your VCR not wrong?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe it is, but it's never bothered me. I mean,
just to let you know, it's an hour wrong.
Yeah,
it's
did
an
you guys
hour
not have any? Did, were you expect
who goes by VCR time?
Were
by
you
the
expecting
way?
Just
look,
to
I'm
roll over?
Right at
no, Dave set his alarm based on that. So then he set it in.
Doesn't his clock? Doesn't his phone have a time on it?
Well, I didn't hear that. Alarm.
Guys, we may be swinging wide of the important point here. We have business to take care of.
We heard that this was going to happen and that Alex and Dave were going to be crashing at Mike's house. We said, wouldn't it be funny if Psycho Mike, who's a chronic person who has him share of himself more than most, wouldn't it be funny if he If he...
The act that dare not speak its name.
If he what, Ralph?
If he enacted the act that dare not speak its name on one of our coworkers. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Right.
Oh, that'd be so freaking funny.
And so...
$100, $200, $300, $400, $500. Oh,
my God.
Congratulations.
So Kevin and I...
congratulations.
Kevin and I decided to pony up some cash, and we offered Mike $500 if he could commit the act.
The act that dare not speak its name.
Did you take a picture? Because I have nothing on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I have nothing on me.
I'm sorry, Alex, you do.
Mike, Dave's the
witness.
Is
it in my hair? It's not in my hair.
A lot of it was.
Mike got.
No, it's not though.
Mike got. Mike got Dave up just to look.
But it's not in my hair.
Mike
though.
Got Dave up
Dave
just to look.
Not vouch for me for no reason. It was.
No. I believe Dave, but it's not. He didn't, where is it though? Because literally, we woke up and we got in the car.
I think it's on his pillow now. But right after it happened, and I got Dave to vouch for me.
Wait, it's got to be ears forward if it's just in my hair.
Most of it, the brunt of it, was in your hair because she took like a hat. She was well aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
She took like a blanket and covered her face like a guy on a motorcycle.
Because it's not on my face.
And then she took a hat, like a cowboy hat that I don't know where she got.
Which we got at the bar. Thanks, Jake.
Okay, in
Pasadena.
I don't know the cowboy hat. And she put that on the side of her head.
So you didn't have much to shoot for, so to speak.
So ears forward, where is it?
I would say a milligram to 2 milligrams hit the face, but a good...
But it's not on my face,
tablespoon hit
the act that dare not speak its name.
According to witnesses...
All I saw was a glop that was covering the cheek, and I was like...
Good morning!
No. And Alex was so passed out that she didn't realize, and I'm like, oh my God, she's not waking up. Awesome. Because I like...
Right.
I was in my box, so I was prepared.
Right.
And I got Dave to wake up, and right as I was like, shh, Dave, don't wake her up. And she rolls over on my pillow and just like, and smooshes it all over my couch.
The act that dare not speak its name.
I rolled it off my hair and cheek into your couch.
You did.
Because I'll do a check with Lisa in the bathroom right now. There's nothing on me.
I would like to see that check.
It's a lot cheaper than $500.
Lola's getting a good
stop it, Dave. Get out of here. What's wrong with you?
David.
I just threw up.
Get out of here.
David. Wow, you got that by a millimeter. You got $500 by a millimeter.
Yes, he did.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
What I didn't realize is how little that would bother her.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't realize.
Well, because I did the best I could.
Because it happens
and I
all the time.
Out
The act that dare not speak its name.
Alex is surprised in the mornings when she wakes up and there isn't something on her face.
You are about to hear the thing that got Bean more excited than anything in the history of his life.
Nude photos of Betty White? We got to take care of the most important business, maybe not just of this week, but maybe of my whole life. And that's the fact that DJ Stryker here on the world famous K-Rock has a tail.
Yes.
Has a tail.
It's very
What's the problem?
I just think
has a tail.
This smacks to me of urban legend already.
But we know that some people do.
Yeah, but I don't think this is something you just find out about somebody.
All right. Before
it was
we
up
talk
to him, he's the one who kept it a secret all these years. He's the one who just finally brought it up on Loveline the other night.
Before we talk to Stryker.
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
We have a theme.
Now, he has a theme. That's awesome.
Wow, how much went into that? A lot, you can tell. Stryker.
Well, what are you hearing exactly?
That you have a tail.
That's exactly it.
Okay. All right. I'll field that one. Dr. Drew was going around at Acoustic Christmas. This is my memory. It may not be exactly right, but he was going around at Acoustic Christmas telling everybody he had just found out that you had a tail. I guess it's something that came up on Loveline, and he's a reliable source, I think. If Dr. Drew says it, it's generally true, and he said that he even felt it through your clothes, and it's really there, and you can wiggle it.
Did you ask him where his father was and what's going on with him?
Yeah, no kidding. That's Drew's answer to everything. You were touched, weren't you? You were touched. And the poor listener goes,
molested as a child.
You were touched. Okay, I was touched.
Stryker, where would he be getting something like that? He didn't pull that out of thin air.
No, he didn't really pull out of thin air. You know, sometimes when you're talking on the radio, you kind of forget you're on the radio.
Right.
So we're talking to some lady, and actually, I don't remember what she was talking about. And I'm like, Drew, I have something on the bottom of my back that is kind of weird. And when I move it like that, I don't know what the hell this is, but I think it's normal. And he said, let me feel it. So I got in that somewhat weird position. It's definitely above the anus, boys.
Yeah, uh-huh. You got that position that you're used to being in. All
right. Right. And then Jared Leto. And then he he grabbed it, and you know, when you freak the doctor out with a weird thing,
yes,
you know, something's there.
When you freak out Dr. Drew, who's seen everything,
yes,
this is Dr. Drew from yesterday on our show.
You say you examined it. You didn't actually see it, though, right?
No, I keep telling him I'd like to see it, but he will not let me see it. But I have examined it. And Lisa Warden examined it, too.
Oh,
and get
wow.
her in there. She will tell you in glorious detail. She
All right, there
out.
You go. Lisa Warden. Saw
music
it, too.
Director, K-Rock.
She's our music director.
Drew told us in the conversation yesterday, Stryker, that it is not a – I mean, it's not common by any stretch of the imagination, but among things – I mean, it's not unusual for a doctor to encounter those throughout his life. I mean, he said it does happen. But that yours was a pretty good sized tail.
Well, I'm crazy, man.
Dude,
what?
He's crazy.
You know what that means, Stryker?
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
Stryker,
I love how you guys call it a tail, and I will go with tail. And there is a big bone there when I move and twist my back a little bit. But if you wanted to take a picture of my rear end.
Yes.
You know,
that's what we'd like to do. In an odd way.
I don't think you would say that man is a monkey necessarily walking around.
So would you see a tail if we saw your lower back?
Sorry to sadden you, but you would not.
You wouldn't. See, I told you. This is all just
hype.
Any sort of nub? At all?
Is that Lisa May?
Yeah, yes. She wants to know about your nub.
Lisa May, yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second, because Dr. Drew, he held up his fingers to indicate that it was like a couple of, what? What is everybody laughing at now?
Psychomite is retching in the corner into the trash can.
He's throwing up.
He's throwing up.
Stop it.
He has a problem with this topic. It grosses him out. I don't know why. We think it's awesome.
What's there to throw up about? This is the greatest news in the world.
The things that don't make him throw
yes.
up. And then this does.
He's
it's amazing.
He's literally throwing up.
Dr. Drew said it's a couple of inches long and you can actually wiggle it. Is he overstating the case, Stryker?
He's slightly exaggerating, I would say. There is something there. It's not there when I'm just standing up, but if I contort myself, there is something there.
Okay.
And you know, and I always thought, honestly, it was something normal until I finally was with a certain human being, a lady, when I finally got some in my life. And she's like, what the hell is that?
Now, here's where that brings us to point number two with our conversation with Dr. Drew yesterday.
I can't, you know, there's a piece of the story here I want to let Stryker tell you. It somebody actually tipped him off. He thought everyone had one.
All right. So what is the story that you need to tell us that somebody tipped you off?
Honestly, I had felt it in my life. Like if I would do... you know, as I keep mentioning, certain positions, like if I would do sit-ups, I would feel it, and I would, like, kind of move to one cheek a little bit while doing them.
Right.
And no one...
Stryker has a tail!
So you can't do sit-ups.
My mother never said anything. My father, nobody.
Well, they don't want poor little Stryker to know he's got a tail. You know?
I got bad parents, man. But yeah.
All right, so who's the girl that found out?
I don't even know. It was in the late 90s in Tucson, Arizona.
Right.
And she's like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. Just throw my bones out there.
It's just my bone out there.
It's my butt knuckle.
I cannot crack the knuckle, Ralph.
Oh, it's too bad.
We were talking yesterday about whether this is feasible, because I'm having trouble, without a photo, I'm having trouble visualizing what you're packing back there, Stryker. But could you have a girl in front of you and a girl behind you and be doing them both at the same time?
You know what? That is quite possible.
Never tried it.
Oh. Never thought about that, did you?
You'd be willing to, wouldn't you? Nice. Stop throwing up. Seriously.
Is he really still vomiting?
Yes.
He is such a freak.
You know how people find certain things just repulsive? I've never seen
Nothing
anybody.
Nothing grosses Mike out.
Yeah, but especially this.
Yeah.
This is the best news ever.
But a little protrusion on the coccyx, and he goes all to pieces.
Easy there.
Stryker, does it have fur on it?
Oh, my God.
Well, there is no fur on there.
There's no fur.
Okay.
No, seriously, Stryker, how far does it stick out if you had to guess?
You got to ask Dr. Drew because he's the one that corrects.
Well, you can
lived
estimate.
With it your whole life.
You can give us an estimate. Is it less? Is it less than 1 foot? How many?
Less than 12 inches.
Yeah, I'm just joking. Give us an estimate of some kind.
Have you ever seen a baboon's ass?
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Kind of like that.
It's like a baboon's ass.
I am just
okay.
So you're red and inflamed as well?
No, it's a couple inches.
couple inches. Stryker, that's significant.
Does it wag when a fire truck goes by?
No, but it wags when I go by the hydrant.
It does.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. Nicely done.
Can you use it for anything? Can you dial a phone with it? Can you make a cup of tea with it?
It's like 20 questions. You're trying to figure it out. Bring it in a bread box. Can you use it for anything?
Why would he ever try to dial a phone with it?
I'm trying to find out how useful it is.
What sense does that make?
Bean had when he tried.
Stryker, have you ever dialed a phone with it?
No, but I wish they had that old show from the 70s and 80s. That's incredible. I could go on there.
Yes, you could. Fran Tarkington would introduce you.
Yeah. Here's another question I have for you. And of course, I have a million questions, but we're going to run out of time here in a second. Ralph said this is not the type of thing we would find out about you at this point. And that brings up this question. Why has this never come up? You've been doing Loveline for a long time. You've been on K-Rock for years and years and years. Why has this never been revealed before this week?
The main reason is not because I'm super shy or anything about it, although it does kind of weird me out that now freaking everyone that listens to K-Rock knows. But just because it just seems somewhat normal to me until Dr. Drew felt it, and he freaked out about it.
Yeah, that's not something you want to have happen. Dr. Drew has a calm demeanor no matter what goes on. If you freak him out, there's something wrong.
Correct.
But I don't believe you, by the way, that you say you thought it was – I mean, you thought it was normal when you were 13 or 14 or 15. But then once you started being with the ladies and started seeing other guys and other women that didn't have a tail, you had to realize you were one in a million.
I wasn't grabbing men's buttocks.
No, well, but you certainly saw that other guys didn't have it though. You've known for a long time that you're a freak show, right?
A little bit.
Weren't you like playing football in high school and you're hanging out in the locker room and go, "Woo, I got hit right in the tail today. That hurt like crazy." And the other guy said, "What? What are you talking about, tail? Didn't something like that happen?
Where do you keep the tail pads?"
Your whole
jeez, we don't have any tail pads, son.
Your whole life? Come on. You don't go through life with a tail and think it's normal?
No, you learned very early in life that you're one of a kind.
I love Stryker.
Yeah, most people aren't doing sit-ups, they start spinning, like a top because they're on their tail.
Stryker, you rule. Who better to be hosting Loveline than a guy with a tail? Seriously.
Absolutely.
That rules.
And by the way, please don't misunderstand our interest in this story, Stryker. There's zero downside to this. It has raised you in our estimation. Seriously, you're now our hero. In fact, I'm a little bit afraid that you're going to be leading some sort of monkey revolution against us. I'm a little worried that you're the head of the team that's going to overthrow the America. I don't know.
Stryker, you're the best.
You guys are too.
And we
congratulations,
love you.
I guess.
Congratulations on having the tail, I guess.
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
Do you want to borrow that jingle for Loveline?
Yeah, can I please have that?
Sure.
Stryker has a tail.
Tail.
Absolutely.
Kind of have a theme running today. When you think about the birth of the baby Jesus, who do you think about first?
You're talking about the head of Hustler, Larry Flint.
Hey, everybody. It's your old pal, Larry Flint, here. You know, during this time of year, you'll often hear people say, "Christmas is for children." And while that's true, we here at Larry Flint Productions think that grown-ups should have a joyous holiday season as well. That's why we've put together this fine collection of adult videos for your Yuletide enjoyment. They're called Larry Flint's Holiday Favorites. And now, before you and Mama settle down for your long winter's nap, you can pop in one of these high-quality erotic films and really spank your elf, if you know what I mean. For just $29.95, you can choose from any one of the following festive titles. The Little Hummer Boy, Oh Come Like Old Faithful, Fisty the Snowman, Dick the Halls, I Saw Mommy F***ing Santa Claus, The 12 Lays of Christmas, White Christmas, Sticky Christmas, All I Want for Christmas is Your Two Front, Sleigh Ride Up the Ass, and many, many more. So pick up your phone now and order one of these soon-to-be classics for your very own. You'll be guaranteeing yourself a happy holiday, and they make great stocking stuffers. Remember, just because Christmas only comes once a year, that doesn't mean you have to.
To order one of Larry Flint's holiday favorites for just $29.95, call 1-800-SNOW-JOB. That's 1-800-SNOW-JOB. Offer not valid in Ohio, Wisconsin, or the North Pole.
Can't wait for 2008. Finally, a new album from the band Coldplay. Remember that time we had breakfast with them?
The band is here. Please welcome Coldplay. Whenever you want to go.
Okay. Thanks, Bevan. Thanks, King.
Okay. Yeah. What song you want to do here?
We're going to show, this is a song that basically your station turned into a hit single, so thanks a lot. It's called Clutch.
Tried to swim against the boat, me down upon my knees. Oh, and I beg and plead, singing, come out of things unsaid. Shoot an apple off my head with a trouble that can't be named. A tiger's waiting to be tamed, singing, gonna come back and take you home. I could not stop that, you now know. So I come out upon my seas. Curse missed opportunities. Am I a part of the cure, or am I part of the disease? Singing, I went home.
about that?
Now, Chris, you act like you have no problem getting up at this time.
I have no problem.
Really?
We owe this radio station our lives.
No, you owe us nothing.
Not at all, man. It's our pleasure. It's our honor. Although we've talked this week about how we remember so well that your first show in America was at the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas a couple of years ago. And who knew then?
Almost acoustic.
Almost, yes. Indeed. Not at all acoustic, really, is the truth. But
exactly.
Did you guys foresee as much success when you started? Did you kind of feel like it was going to happen? Or are you as surprised as everybody else might be?
We always knew that we were the next American Idol.
I mean, it's one thing to know you're good. It's a different thing to know that it's going to go over so well around the world with everyone.
No, it's incredible. You know, it's quite bonkers, really, our lives at the moment. And we think we're much bigger than we are, you know? You can still go out and not be mobbed. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. We never get mobbed. It's a terrible tragedy. What we'd definitely like to see is more mobbing.
I think mobbing is a worthy goal.
It's underrated, really.
Tell me about playing the Hollywood Bowl. Was this week your first time ever there?
That was the first time. We did a residency, basically, of two nights.
And
it's not
does
quite
it,
Springsteen, but it's...
does a venue like that, or are there venues around the world that kind of mean something? Because some people would go, my God, we're playing the Hollywood Bowl. It's the Beatles, it's the Doors, it's all these legendary rock shows throughout the years. Is that a venue that means something to you?
Yeah, totally, you know. I mean, this whole tour is totally nuts for us because we're playing here, which is obviously the greatest place in L.A. to play, and then we're playing Red Rocks, which we grew up knowing about from the U2 record.
That's right. Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden. You know, so we're playing some places that we've dreamed about playing, you know?
You've been doing quite a few new songs over the course of the tour, which has got to make it more interesting for you, too.
Yeah. For you, too, or for us?
for you also.
Oh, I see.
For you, the band.
Although you, too, finds it interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Well, that's basically what we live for at the moment, is new songs.
How many new ones you got, do you reckon, that you haven't recorded yet?
Good ones or bad ones?
Good ones. Just good ones that have a chance at making the next record.
We've got probably half a good one. 15 rubbish.
Have you tried out a new song on stage and said, that's not going to make it?
Yeah, many
you have?
Times.
Really?
When we were getting ready for this album, we were playing some terrible things, which we thought were great, and then we recorded them, and it turned out they weren't. You two look like pilots, by the way.
Do we?
Yeah, with the headsets.
If so, we would fly for America West because we're drunk.
But we'll work out the technical, and we'll find some people who got some great questions here. Some hardcore fans here have just been going crazy to get into this thing here this week. So you got a very appreciative audience, for real. And we'll come back with more. It's Breakfast with Coldplay, House of Blues. More after this on K-Rock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ in the middle of our breakfast with Coldplay.
I got some people in the crowd that are going to ask some questions now. Yeah, what's your name and what's your question?
My name is Anthony, and my question is, before Rush to the Head came out, you guys said that this might be your last album. Seeing the success you guys has, have you guys reconsidered that?
After this, we're going to release the greatest hit album. With one song on it.
You could make it two discs and just put them both out again.
Can we turn that back on?
Yeah, what is that, by
it's
the way?
Monitor.
Oh, it's me, sorry.
There we go.
As usual.
Chris,
sorry about this.
He's yelling at himself now.
See what I mean about the smoke and mirrors going? Well, maybe, you know, the way things are going this morning, this could be our last ever performance.
Thank you for the question. Who's next?
That was a good question, by the way.
Your name and question, please.
Hi, I'm Vanessa, and my question is, what did you listen to when you were younger?
Hey, I saw in a Rolling Stone that you and your dad used to listen to Michael Jackson's Bad.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to drive on the way to school in the morning, and Michael Jackson would be singing, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And my dad would say, well, he never gives you a chance to answer. that's actually what he used to say. But it's funny the first time, but not the 90th.
Yeah.
Every morning he'd crack the
now,
same joke.
Were you putting on the Michael Jackson, or was your dad putting on the Michael Jackson?
I was, and
you
my
were.
Brother was.
Okay.
Hey, morning, guys. I'm Alex. I wanted to know how you deal with the pressure of constantly making hits and staying true to your musical vision instead of buckling to what record companies and radio stations want.
When we got together as a band, we said, well, you know, because we split everything equally, it means that we're tight as a group and we don't really have to listen to what anybody else says. You know, we obviously take it on board, but we eventually make our own decisions and can make the music that we want to, you know?
Do you have a dynamic in the band where everybody gets a vote, and if one guy says no, then that's it?
Totally.
Oh, really? Because that seems like
there could be times when it's 3-1 and
totally.
That's got to hurt.
Often with Will, you know, like we'll get offered the soundtrack to, I don't know, Legally Blonde 2, and Will will say yes. And Will will say no, and that puts a paid to it.
Hey, Chris, do the guys get a vote on who you date?
Next question.
Okay. All right, give us your name and your question, please.
Hi, guys, I'm Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Hi, Jen, that sounds a bit like hygiene. Are you clean?
Thanks.
Okay. She smells very nice, yes.
My favorite thing about you guys is how humble you are. How do you stay grounded?
Well, because we're brilliant. That's how we stay grounded. And I don't want to do all the talking, but everyone else is still waking up. Johnny, how do you stay grounded?
I don't know.
See? It's like getting blood out of a stone at this time in the morning.
That's a tough one to answer anyway, isn't it? How you stay grounded.
Well, we don't really think we are that grounded, to be
honest.
And we get whisked from here to our hotel rooms, and then we get put on a nice bus and taken to a nice venue where we get to play for lots of nice people. You know, it's pretty easy to stay happy.
But there are a lot of other bands that have the same treatment, and we've done a lot of breakfasts with people, and it's like they're not happy to be there. They're doing it really because they kind of feel like they should, and they don't have much of a sense of humor. And you just seem like you're so nice and willing to have fun and be funny.
That's because we all went to bed with very beautiful women yesterday.
Well, that does improve one's
that's
attitude.
How we stay grounded by the fact that our lives are totally not grounded.
Hey, you made me change the subject when I brought it up. Next thing, you're bringing it up.
I'm not bringing it up.
Okay, good.
You know, you wake up with a hot enough woman, and you feel pretty good about everything, I guess. All right. Next, let's do a couple more questions from the audience, and the boys will play one more time.
All right, your name and your question.
Hi, guys. My name is Doris. I was just wondering, who are your guys' favorite bands?
The Cure, Echo and the Bunnymen, Radiohead, a guy called Ron Sexsmith who's touring with us.
Before we go back out to the audience, I haven't seen it yet, but I have read quite a bit about the video that you have out for The Scientist. And apparently extremely complicated, like one of the hardest things you've had to do in terms of making videos, right?
Well, I mean, it wasn't The Matrix, but...
What, for folks who haven't seen it, describe what you had to do in this video, though.
I mean, this guy called Jamie had this idea to do a backwards video, but that I'd have to learn to sing the song backwards so that it would look like the singing was forwards all the time. You know?
Uh-huh.
It was like... Es hizo me si abuana no sarof ni asustación.
Oh my God!
But it does actually work.
Wow!
You need to release that version.
That won't work if you release that. If you turn that backwards, because it was a while ago.
All right, back to the crowd we go. Kevin is in the audience here at the House of Blues.
Yes, your name and your question, please.
Hi, I'm Irene from Whittier, and I wanted to know who inspired you when you were growing up in the music industry?
Another bad question. All right, who's next, Kevin?
No. I'm going to answer
that.
I'm sorry. Because who inspired us? Well, that's a great question, because inspiration is different to influence. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we all had teachers who were pretty cool to us. You know, I had Mr. Tanner and Mr. Skinner.
I had some.
You had some?
Will's mum was a DJ.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. Like a radio DJ?
No, like for...
Club DJ.
Weddings and bar mitzvahs.
How about
dude.
That?
And bat mitzvahs.
That's awesome.
I went to my first bat mitzvah the other day.
Yeah? How was that?
It was cool, you know?
That's not the one where they cut off the foreskin, right? That's a different service altogether.
That's basically racist, what you just said.
Well, no, don't they have... Oh, that's the bris. I'm thinking of the bris. It's a totally different Jewish celebration, though. Now, your mom was the DJ at, like, weddings and stuff?
Yeah.
And playing, you know, the Isley Brothers Shout and records like that for people to dance to?
Kind of. Put some good records as well.
Okay. Dude, I wish my mom was a DJ at weddings. That's awesome.
So we had all these sorts of inspirations, you know? Like, people who just basically told us... It didn't matter if we couldn't read music, or it didn't matter if we couldn't play the violin. It just said, well, if you love music, you can do whatever you like.
Hi, my name is Lily, and I want to tell Johnny that I think you're a great guitar player, and I have a huge crush on you.
Woo!
And also, I wanted to know, how did you get started with Make Trade Fair?
Well, I mean, basically, the organization who's behind Make Trade Fair approached us, and Chris went to Haiti and basically came back and told us all about it. And we thought it was a great thing. You know?
But now we have it in all our concerts. And then we're probably going to hopefully meet with people like Kofi Annan, who's the head of the UN, and just present loads of signatures. And say, basically, so to show politicians that people are concerned about issues like unfair employment conditions or not being paid enough wage or wrongful prices.
That's
you know
cool.
What I mean?
Yeah, there you go.
We're not trying to. You shouldn't applaud because it's not. I mean, we're not doing it so that you think we're cool because it's not that cool to talk about. But it is important.
Your name and your question.
Hi, my name is Michelle, and I wanted to know where is your favorite place to perform and why.
There's three: Dublin, here, and Spain, and London.
Why, and why, and why?
And Australia's good.
Can you tell the difference from place to place in the audience? Like, is there a certain part of the world that's...
I mean, France is different, you know?
Because...
I mean, over French. Here people go, yeah! Over there they go, oui! And so, that, then we can tell.
Well, there is that. All right, are we done in the audience?
Yeah.
All right, we are done. You guys are going to play another number for us here as we close down the Breakfast with Coldplay.
We're going to close down. Thanks for having us,
thank you so much. Let's hear it for the guys.
Thanks, guys.
Here for the House of Blues. This has been a
really
real treat.
Yeah, it was really fun, man.
Come up to meet you and tell you I'm sorry. You don't know how lovely you are. I had to find you and tell you I need you and tell you I set you apart. So tell me your secrets and ask me your questions, and now let's go back to the start. Run in circles or come in on tails, heads on a silence apart. Nobody said it was easy. Such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be this hard. I'm going back to the start. No one
Well, if you wanted Coldplay singing live for you this morning, I think we took care of that.
And I'm not sure why this happens, but crazy people are drawn to us, and we to them.
What are you talking about, Kevin and Bean? I don't know what you mean, Kevin and Bean. Doto will not stop emailing me.
Hey, Doto.
I get email every hour from Doto. He's so fired up about something that he needs help with that we have to deal with this on the air so we can be done with it, okay?
That might be discriminating.
How's it going, Doto?
How's it going? Bean, look, sorry that I emailed you, because I think that I have a pretty good relationship with you in the last couple of years.
That's right, you do. Right, now, let me stop and say, Doto, I'm always happy to hear from you. It's just the fervor with which you have been sending emails this week, like 1, 2, 3 times an hour all day, every day, has me concerned that you're losing your mind.
Yeah, because you know I always keep you updated on what's going on about me, Bean.
Right, but you could probably do one a day and be able to just encapsulate the whole thing, don't you think?
But I've already got my issue straightened out, so I don't have to take it any further.
My favorite email from Doto is he'll write to me, and it'll be a long – you know how Doto's emails are. They're it's practically illegible. And you try to make sense of it, and it's like 2,000 words on what's going on in his life. And then about 45 minutes later, you'll get another email from him that'll say, hey, Bean, I just want to know, did you get my email? Okay, Do. That's what I love about Do. What's the problem? What's on your mind, Bunky? What's that got you so upset?
And what's got me so upset because I think that I was wrongly treated, Bean.
You were what? Wrongly treated?
Wrongly unfair treated, discriminated against.
By Bean?
Not by Bean. I mean by some university.
By some university.
Okay, what happened, Doe? Just tell us what happened.
Here's the deal. I applied to a PhD program, and they turned me down because they say I don't have such and such, but I do. So I like to kind of challenge it, dispute it.
What is such and such?
Yeah, what is such and such that you don't? They say you don't have.
They say you don't have enough work experience or your academic ability is not up to par. But I think it is.
Okay.
Okay, but I mean, forgive my ignorance here because I've never applied for the program that you're talking about, but I'd be willing to bet that way more people apply for those types of programs than are accepted. I mean, isn't that true of any kind of higher education? As you can apply all you want, but not everybody's going to get in.
Well, it depends, but they say that we're writing and research. We're very, very keen on that.
That they're very keen on writing and research?
Writing and research, because they told me in the PhD program you'll be doing a hell kick a lot of writing and research.
Right. Doe, I don't mean this.
You're writing.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but you don't
You don't write at a college level, Doe.
What?
You don't write at a college level.
But that's just an email, Bean, because on email I don't pay attention to the way I write.
Oh. So when you write a paper, it makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you prove that with an email sometime in the next week? Because I'm not sure I believe you.
Because we've seen 30,000 emails from you, Doe. So you, I mean, you sent them paperwork when you applied for the PhD program, right? And you wrote it out well, and you thought it was a strong presentation. But they said they didn't. They said they did not think you were qualified for their program.
But some schools are not really concerned about the writing. Some schools are concerned about work experience and on other factors. So
right, but though I guess what we're saying is there are probably hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people who got turned down for the program that you're trying to get into, and it has really nothing to do with discrimination.
So you don't think it has anything to do with it, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I don't know this particular instance, but I know that that more people get turned down than let in.
Right.
There's a lot of people who got turned down. Do you think that's discrimination for all of them or just you?
But, I don't know. But you see, I can always reapply back, right?
Sure. Well, I mean, you can apply again, sure.
You can apply again. You can also apply at other schools. I mean, that's what most of us do if we don't get into the college of our choice, is we apply someplace else and try to get in there.
Hey, Bean, when you say that my writing is not college level, is that being really honest with me?
Yes.
It's fourth grade level, though.
To be really, really keen, right?
Yeah. It really is.
We're not saying that makes you a bad guy or that we're not friends with you or we don't enjoy your company. It's just that it's not necessarily the best presentation probably of your abilities, like you said, because it's not something you spend a lot of time on. But again, it doesn't mean people are discriminating against you. It sounds like you feel that somehow they're discriminating against you for whatever reason, because, you know, something that would be illegal because of your race or because of a disability or something like that. That doesn't sound like what's going on here.
Because of the whores in Thailand. Maybe that.
Maybe that's what it is. So you should just apply elsewhere, Doe. Hey, if they don't want you, you don't want them. That's the way I look at it.
Hey, Kevin, when you say that if my writing is at a fourth grade level, do you think it can improve?
He didn't hear a word you said, B.
No, he didn't.
No, of course.
I was bringing the good stuff, too.
You were throwing the heat. Yeah, of course it could get better, though. Of course it could. If you're not paying attention, I can understand that. But grammar-wise, leaves a little to be desired.
Syntax-wise.
And when I say that.
And spelling-wise.
I mean, come on. Look at me. I can barely speak the English language. So I'm just saying, maybe if you worked on that a little bit, maybe you could reapply. Maybe you could apply to other places, and you'll be fine.
Doe, we wanted to have you on because we consider you a friend. Do you consider us friends with you?
Kevin Bean.
Okay. We don't want you to go around threatening lawsuits all the time. There's too much of that going on in this country. There's plenty of other places you can apply to. You just need to apply yourself, first of all. Really hunker down, do the best job that you can, and go out there and make them want to have you be part of their program because you're such an outstanding candidate. That's what you got to do. It's on you, Doe. No, nobody owes you anything. You got to work for it. Okay?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like he's being built up like you're trying, Bean.
He sounds deflated.
Bean is giving you the motivational speech of a lifetime, man. And you're just you're just laying there like a dead fish.
I know, Bean.
That was Kevin.
That's Kevin, actually. And then I want you to pay a whore and just go crazy. I want you to really, like, cheer yourself up, have a great weekend, and then reapply on Monday with a new attitude, all right? Okay, Doe.
All right.
I'm sorry, pal. We're doing the best we can for you here, okay? I want you to think about what we've said here today, okay?
Yeah.
Doe?
Come on, Doe. We can't let you go until you at least act like you're not going to kill yourself in 5 minutes.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, good.
Hey, Doe, before we go, say to us, we cool.
We're cool.
Say it again.
We're cool.
Okay. All right, Doe. Have a great weekend.
Then you say, have a great weekend, guys.
Or even okay. Just goodbye.
Okay. Bye, Kevin and Bean.
What the hell?
Or just anything. Just a...
He's gone.
Oh, that didn't go well at all. Was it us?
So much for your job as a motivational speaker, Bean.
Wow. Some people tough love just does not work with. Let's face it. Who's got better advice on how to enjoy the holidays than Steve-O?
Hello, everybody. This is Steve-O from Jackass. I want each and every one of you guys to have a very merry and safe Christmas this year. So I will now demonstrate the things you should not, and I repeat, not do this holiday season. Do not pour female reindeer urine all over yourself and then climb into a pen filled with male reindeers during mating season. You should not force a gallon of rum-spiked eggnog up your ass. Ooh, that feels kind of good. And lastly, you should not, and I mean not, swallow an entire string of Christmas tree lights. And then plug them in. Have a happy and safe holiday.
Right now, it's time to talk to Michael Jackson, who celebrated his 49th birthday yesterday. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Wow, you sound a little tired.
Yeah.
You guys just woke me up. It's so early.
We woke you
sorry.
Up.
What time zone are you in today, Michael?
Pacific.
Oh, you're in our time zone.
Okay, so yeah, it is kind of early. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. You stay up late last night with the party?
Oh, what a party.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, I didn't sleep very well.
Right.
Because Elizabeth Taylor found my pillows and thought they were marshmallows, and she ate them. Oh. So I didn't have any pillows.
Wow, that is a party.
You have to follow her around all night long because she was chewing on my stereo cables.
That's how they do.
She thought they were black licorice. I found her in the gravel driveway with a spoon. She thought it was rock candy.
Wow.
She's like a rabbit. You have to watch what she bites.
She's fat, right, Michael?
She is not a thin woman. That's what I'm trying to say.
So you're 40.
She's not anorexic.
Right. She eats a lot. Right.
She's not svelte.
You're 49.
She's plump.
Right. She's
a big,
she's a big woman.
Big woman. Right.
Certainly. Do you feel like when you look back that maybe your best days are behind you? The superstardom of the Jackson 5 when you were 10, maybe, and then the superstardom of Thriller when you were 20. What about now? What's your life like today at 49?
I have never been more creative, more vital, more relevant than I am right now.
Really?
Yes. I'm working on a new song for the Katrina victims.
You know, you said that right after Katrina that you were going to do some kind of a charity song to help the victims. It's been 2 years now.
Well, you can't rush greatness.
Right, but people are waiting for that money. They were kind of hoping that maybe some of it would trickle down to them before they die of old age.
Well, I'm working on it.
How much do you have done?
I have a couple options.
Okay.
Hurricane Katrina is not good. It killed some people. I don't think that that's good.
Yeah, that's Billy Jean.
Hurricanes aren't good.
That's not even trying, Michael. That's just you singing along with one of your old songs.
Because we're wet. We're wet. We're flooded. I said we're wet.
Michael,
ooh,
that's not,
jam on.
You're just rehashing your old tunes. That's not going to help anyone.
I got nothing. I'm out.
You're out?
I'm just laying here. Bubbles down.
Bubbles is back with you?
Yeah, I brought him back to the party.
Oh, I see.
People like to play with Bubbles at the party.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. Did any of your family members come? I mean, did you see Jermaine or Janet, your mom and dad? Did you have that kind of a party?
No.
No one from your family?
No. I invited them, but they didn't come. I don't know why. But it was okay. It was a good party anyway. Down.
Is that a horse?
Yeah. I'm just in my bedroom, that's all. Don't mind me.
You have a horse in your... Is that a goat?
Easy, nanny. Yes.
What's going on there?
Just never mind. It's not a
horse. That's a dog.
Dog, wolf,
Macaulay,
I don't know.
Macaulay Culkin.
Michael, is that an owl? You have an owl in your bedroom?
That's Emmanuel Lewis.
Okay. Pig?
Yeah.
Yes, just
that's
a pig.
What it seems.
That
right.
was just a pig. Okay.
What about the children? Where are Prince and Paris and Blanket? Where are they?
Kids?
What is that?
Do you even know?
Are those your kids?
Omar, what is that?
Wait a minute. You have an Omar?
Omar, was at the party?
Yeah. Omar, what was that?
It's a donkey.
Oh, it's a donkey.
It's a donkey. How come Omar got invited?
Well, he was spinning on the ones and twos.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, he was really good.
And he's still there with you?
Yes.
How about that?
In the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
With all the animals.
Flipper?
I need to take a bath. We have to get that dolphin out of
How
there.
How is there a dolphin in your bedroom?
He's in the bathroom.
Oh. He's in the tub. Kevin, come on, man. Sorry, I should have known. Oh, this is just getting outrageous.
There's
now.
Elizabeth Taylor again.
Wait, you're telling me you can push a button to go down? So you're Benicio del Toro, and you're by all accounts, a good-looking guy. You got an Oscar on the mantle there. You're making millions of dollars for pictures. It ought to be enough, right?
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah. You have to take it a step further and have sex with Scarlett Johansson in an elevator at the Chateau Marmont.
And so would you if you could.
No kidding. That works.
Come on. He's 37. She's 19. London Sun newspaper says that Scarlett Johansson has admitted to having sex with Benicio del Toro in an elevator.
I love that. She was spotted rushing off with him after a party. And then she invited Benicio up to her room after kissing in front of a bunch of amazed onlookers. And he said, fine. And they started going up to her room, but they didn't make it.
Before
lust took over on the elevator.
That's funny.
You can't wait 30 seconds to get to the room.
No,
you've got to do it in the elevator right now.
It's something that you will never understand, Bean. It's a word called passion.
Yeah, sometimes it just has to happen there. And sometimes being in the elevator makes it even more exciting.
So he's 37, she's 19, and they're going up to her room, and they cannot wait. So they get into this tiny little elevator. And apparently, according to onlookers, they did not care who was looking. It was surprising because she was so stunning, and he is hardly a hunk, according to this. My wife finds him incredibly
attractive.
The ladies
think he's very sexy,
I think. Yeah, he's really sexy.
People were referring to them as Beauty and the Beast. They walked through the lobby. They did not seem to be embarrassed at all, to be all over each other. Then they got into the elevator. It doesn't say if they stopped it and had sex or if they just...
Bean, how many floors could that elevator go?
Is that a euphemism? Or are you asking about this?
I'm asking how tall
hotel.
I
don't think
stories.
It can't be more than four or five.
It's not that
floors,
big, right?
Five,
yeah.
six
it's not
floors. A big hotel.
That's what I thought. They
this isn't like this isn't like you're in the Empire State Building.
Right.
You've got 80 floors with which to to make do. I mean, you got to either go fast or you got to stop the elevator.
But
I imagine.
Here's the way she described it: we were making out or having sex or something, which I think is very unsanitary.
Well, if she doesn't know the difference, Scarlett, you want to make out?
Wow, no kidding.
I might have done that once.
Who had
God
sex?
Bless you.
In an elevator.
It wasn't going home either. It's on our way out to go out. We couldn't wait.
That is what I'm talking about.
Who was the other girl? You remember?
No. It was a guy.
Oh, wow. A guy. Okay.
And we never had sex before.
Really?
First time in an elevator.
Yeah.
Was this your first... Wow. Is this your first date? Nice. Lisa puts out.
Lisa is a goer.
Wait a minute. This was your first date? And you had sex in the elevator before you went out on the date?
I know.
He didn't spend one nickel on you at that point.
Hold on.
I know.
How many times had you met him?
Oh, I'd kind of been working with him when I worked in the restaurant. So I, you know, we'd been flirting for a long time.
Okay.
It's not like it was
building
a blind
up.
Date. I've got to have you.
Okay.
It'd been building up, exactly.
Now,
so, right in the elevator.
How did it start when you got in the elevator to go down?
We just started kissing and stuff, and then he flipped the button.
And he hit the stop, and then you knew it was on.
Yeah, and I was wearing a skirt, so it wasn't real hard.
Look at
Now, he flipped the button. That was a move?
Both a move on the elevator and on me.
And on her.
All right, I understand.
And then the alarms. You know, whoop, whoop, whoop.
And it's ringing.
But it's just
don't care.
Yeah, it's just an apartment elevator. It's like three floors. You know, nobody's really
worried
too much. So
and,
it stopped. It doesn't take long, obviously.
Did he finish?
I don't remember. This is a long time ago, but...
You didn't, I'm sure, because women take like an hour.
I would have had to start alone in my apartment before he ever got there for that to happen.
For quite some time.
I don't know.
See, that's why
I don't remember.
By the way, let me just say this. That's why this is so cool of women. Because they know when they get into that elevator that they're not going to finish.
Yeah.
It's not about them.
It's just good fun.
It's just good fun.
And a good story.
I love that.
But women aren't, in this respect, Lisa, am I right about this? They're not as goal-oriented. In other words, you can still enjoy the sex even if it doesn't have the big finish.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you still like it. Yeah. Now, did you guys still go out, or did he look at his watch after the elevator was over and he said, oh, you know what, maybe I got to go? Or was there still a date at the end of that?
No, there was still a date.
Okay, now, what did you do? Do you remember what you went out and did after that?
No, I don't remember. It was a long time
ago.
And I don't remember.
After the date,
did
you go back to the hotel room and do it again?
Absolutely.
Twice in one night.
Absolutely. Well, we had business to finish.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was the only time. That was the once in my life.
Was part of the charge, hey, we're in an elevator and we shouldn't be, this is not where we ought to be doing it, and that makes it a little more exciting?
Totally.
Was anybody waiting at the bottom? When,
No one.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lisa,
for
helping us out with that little story, because that actually helps. Warren in North Hollywood. Good morning.
Good morning.
Warren. You had sex in an elevator. There were only three floors in the building.
Yeah. It was one of those old school elevators. Mm-hmm. You know how the door opens first, and then you have to pull the door open?
Right, sure.
Right.
So, and there's a little window in the middle of the door that you have to pull open. So every time we have to stop and, we're looking out the window, make sure no one's standing there.
I gotcha.
So we just keep going.
Now,
I was 15 at the time, so I didn't know what was going on.
Well, you were 18. Clearly you were 18.
18 is what you meant to say. And you were with a girl you worked with, and you guys were getting ready to leave the apartment on your first date, right?
No, that was Lisa. Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. Three-floor elevator? I don't know if it's Warren or not.
What's your name?
Lisa remembers the guy's name.
Now, Warren was...
an ex-girlfriend.
It was an ex at the time?
No. The ex-girlfriend.
Then it was your girlfriend. Okay.
Then it was my girlfriend.
And you had already... But you had already had sex with her other times. It wasn't like Lisa May the first time was in an elevator.
Oh, no. Yeah, I had sex with her many times before that.
All right. Thank you, Warren, for calling.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, I got to give it up again for Lisa May. First time they had sex was in an elevator.
I'm very proud.
That's
a proud moment for me.
Doug in West LA, good morning.
Yeah, morning Kevin and Dean. Morning Lisa May.
Hey Doug.
You're on vacation in Hawaii.
That's right. I had just finished the 98 Pack Cup, which is a race from San Francisco to Oahu. and met my now wife there.
What did you race on in?
Oh, on a sailboat.
Okay.
Ah. Yeah, so after eight days of racing with a bunch of guys, you're pretty horny when you get to Hawaii.
Sure.
So a couple of nights later, we'd been out partying and went back to the hotel. It was pretty late, and we were riding up in the elevator and couldn't wait until we got to our room, so I just started something. And I would say that within two floors, she reached the big O.
Whoa, please.
Wow.
She was totally over it.
If you're really
ready.
Yeah,
she was pretty ready too, I guess.
Very, very ready, yes. No doubt about it.
Wow.
And you know,
fantastic.
The issue about whether they're video cameras.
Yes.
You know, in 1998 in a big hotel, I'm certain there are.
Yeah.
And I bet that tape has not been erased.
It's not been erased, right? Mm-hmm. No, I actually saw you on the internet yesterday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deb. Debbie?
Yeah.
You had sex in an elevator?
Well, my ex-husband is an elevator mechanic.
Right.
And so I went up there to meet him for lunch. He was doing the service on the elevator, and we got in to make sure it was working okay. And, you know,
you were doing the service on the elevator,
make
right?
Make sure that it's working properly.
Yeah, it was working really well, actually.
The pulley system has not been working like it used to. Now, but he was able to shut it down.
Yeah.
And give you as much privacy as you needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bogus. That's bogus. That's cheating.
That is cheating. Hey, Debbie, did that elevator have as much up and down motion as you were hoping?
Hey!
It was swinging on the cable, you know what I mean?
Okay. And I got to be honest, I think that Kevin Federline got a little bit of a raw deal because people only think of him as Britney Spears' ex instead of as the musical genius he turned out to be. If Britney Spears and Kevin Federline can't make it as a married couple, what hope is there for the rest of us mortals? I'm very sad when I pick up In Touch magazine and I see that the kids are having trouble. They're in marriage counseling. So we thought, hey, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's make a phone call. Let's get the happy couple on the phone. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning, booyaka.
Now, Kevin, are you calling us from the Beverly Hills Hotel?
Yeah.
And Britney, you're in Malibu.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just the way I like it.
I see. Okay. So those rumors are all true then?
What?
That you've split up and he's living in the hotel, Brittany, for God's sakes. We just talked about it. Brittany?
Brittany? Brittany, according to In Touch magazine, you guys are in counseling right now. You're trying to get Kevin to stay home with baby Sean. All he wants to do is party. You guys got into a big fight. Now he moved out and is living in the Beverly Hills Hotel. That's what we're calling to confirm.
Right. I just told him he should move into, like, our guest house. But apparently he thought the guest house meant the hotel.
Because
he's been a guest in that house.
I see.
And he took me, like, literally and stuff.
So you have a communication problem.
Right.
Yeah, we definitely do. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, most guys, they got to go sleep on the homeboy's couch. You know what I'm saying? Or like a air mattress or something. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Federline's a baller.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He lives the high life.
Brittany, why are you paying for him to stay at the Beverly Hills Hotel, which I can't imagine is cheap?
Well, you know, it's, like, a little more expensive than Motel 6 and stuff, but I have, like, my spies there, so I can, like, put him in a special room, and then they can tell me, like, exactly what he's up to and how many chicks come over to, like, you know, help, you know, to teach him how to dance.
Dance, right.
In
sure.
quotes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says, right. Now, last week we heard a report, Kevin, that you were out shopping around for $1.5 million condo or something that you wanted to buy, and then Brittany caught wind of that and then cut you off. You weren't able to buy it. Is there any truth to that rumor?
It's true. I was just looking for a new house to stash my rocks, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what I do. I slang rocks. I move units, you know what I'm saying?
No.
I move weight, you know what I'm saying? When you slang in yayo, I didn't choose this. I was born into this. I was born into this. So I needed a place, you know, a hideout. Because the FBI be all up tapping on my phones right now. They're all up in my crib, you know what I'm saying? Walking on the ceiling, doing surveillance, you know what I'm saying? So I need to find a secret little hideout.
One other question that I see in the news, and that is that, Brittany, you have created your own nativity scene in your baby's room.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Jesus.
You've transformed the bedroom into the nativity setting, and you have 6 waxwork models and several life-size toy donkeys and cattle. And according to Britain's Daily Star, it cost an absolute fortune, but at least she didn't have to buy the baby Jesus because Sean is playing that part.
How, like, perfect is that and stuff? He fit in the little costume. First, I was going to put him, like, on the front lawn like Rudolph. But then my mom said he'd get cold, so we brought him inside and put a little, like, hat on him and everything.
Every once in a while, I come by and I visit, you know what I'm saying, when Brittany's out around, and I'll tell you, the boy looks cute, you know, like little G-Zizzle for shizzle.
Yeah. I can't imagine Kevin Federline's baby playing the role of Jesus.
Little Jesus.
That seems like a bit of a stretch.
He's perfect for it. And sometimes I play Moses. You know, I come over, I'm Ms. Osis, and I'm like, what's up, little G-Zizzle? And he just looks at me and usually pees on me. But
Kevin, that brings me to the next question, and that is, we had Ali G on last week.
Yeah. What's up? Peace to my brizza, the Ali Jizzy.
Yeah. He was telling us that he created the character Ali G to make fun of white people who spend their lives and their money and change their language to try and be black. Wiggins.
Yeah, frankly, I was hurt by that.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
That's straight you.
No, it ain't. You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while I hear that heathen bean, he uses the word wigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right, well, that's what you are. You're the poster child for wiggas.
Yeah, frankly, I'm proud to be a wigga.
You are?
Yeah. If you're going to use that to disparage me, to put me down, to try to pick on me for the 400 years of oppression that I've had to go through, and me and my people have had to deal with.
Kevin, your people haven't had, you're a white kid from Fresno. You're not a slave in Alabama, Kevin.
Listen, white devil, assalamu alaikum to you. I hope Jesus looks down on you favorably. But as of right now, you're speaking nothing but devil tongue. I'm trying to spit science, trying to educate you, and all you're doing is interrupting me. So let me tell you how it is. Some people are proud to be wiggers. You know what I'm saying? And
okay.
That's who I am. I'm proud to be a wigger.
And now, is that what this song is about that's been dropped off?
That's right. It's called Wiggin' Out.
I'm straight wiggin'. Yeah, you can say I'm wiggin' out. Wanting to be black is what a wigger's all about. I hate being white, but I love being a wigger. What can I do to make my lips look bigger? I'm an Afro-American, an aphrodisiac. Fried chicken, bean pies, food stamps, Cadillac. Dark skin pigment is the only thing I lack when it comes to being black, black, black. Bitch! Fubu and Pele Pale, Sean, John, and Nike. Wife beaters, baggy jeans, a big plain white tee. Check my hair, bitch. It's some tight cornrows or some jerry curls so greasy you could say that my soul glows. Every night, I kneel down and pray. Could I get sickle cell anemia today?
Aww.
I play basketball and y'all know I can dance. I got a foot long chocolate anaconda in my pants. I go to nice restaurants. I never leave a tip. I got a gold plated scarf face embroidered money clip. Twist my hat sideways, pull the hood up on my hoodie. I watch Boys in the Hood and I always get a Woody. All my wiggers in the house say, hey. When it comes to being black, real wiggers don't play. All the wiggers in the house say, ho. Real wiggers wear their pants all the way to the floor. I got one black friend, he's kinda like my token. I speak Ebonics cause my English is broken. I got more money than that honky Donald Trump, and I still smell like I took a shower at the dump. I'm straight wiggin', yeah, you can say I'm wiggin' out. Wanting to be black is what a wigger's all about. I hate being white, but I love being a wigger. What can I do to make my lips look bigger? Yeah, that's right. All my wiggers out there, if people are getting down on you for being a wigger, keep your head up. You know what I'm saying? Because Kevin Fedelizzi's looking out for you. There ain't nothing wrong with being a wigger. Except for a complete lack of self-acceptance, the refuting of your own culture. But I mean, who needs that stuff anyway when you can use the word fat with a PH and play on your side chick all day, right? So until next time, my little wigger disciples, remember, keep the booyaka in your heart. Booyaka, booyaka! Oh yeah, by the way, I almost forgot. Booyaka.
Has the air cleared yet from the Al Gore slideshow, or is that still around?
No, I'm sorry to say that Al will not let that die.
Damn it, Morty. You're my publicist. Do something. Have you read the tabloids? I'm taking a beating with this drug sleigh-driving thing. Well, first off, let's get me into rehab. Then let's set up a meeting with some elf leaders. Tell them I want to reach out and heal the damage or some bullshit. Yeah, well, then we've got to get me some positive press. Wait a minute, I know. Book me a guest shot on a hot TV show. How about Lost? That show's f***ed up enough to have Santa drop by. I don't care if J.J. Abrams is Jewish. Get it done. Listen, somebody's at the door. I gotta go. Get on the stick, Morty. Or so help me, you're gonna find a lump of coal Christmas morning up your ass.
Hello, Santa.
Why, it's former Vice President and almost President Al Gore. What are you doing here?
I'm sorry to bother you, Santa, but I'm afraid I've got some bad news, and I wanted to come up here and tell you in person.
Well, come in, come in. So, what's this all about, Al?
Well, Santa, I think you've got a problem.
Yeah, I guess you heard about the arrest, huh?
Yes, but that's not what I'm referring to. Here, let me show you. See, here's a picture of the North Pole 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And here is the same area today. You can see the North Pole is melting.
Oh, crap. So this is all about your global warming bullshit?
And you can see here that the drastic changes in the climate are causing some of the indigenous wildlife to turn into cannibals. Here, one reindeer is eating the other's genitals.
What? Oh, no, Al. He's not eating the other one. That's Donner and Blitzen. They've got a special relationship. Kind of a broke-back reindeer kind of thing, you know, but who am I to judge, huh? What the hell is that?
Oh, how did that get in here? That's me and Tipper at a Star Trek convention. Aren't my pointed ears cool? I love Spock. He makes me seem downright emotional.
All right, that's it. Come on.
But...
Come on, let's go. I'm sorry, Al. I love the planet and all that happy horse, but I've got some real problems. So you're going to have to sell Armageddon someplace else, okay, Dr. Doom? Sorry, Al. Goodbye. Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 and all that bullshit.
Santa.
What?
Can I have my slide projector back?
Here.
I think it's broken.
Yeah, well, I'll get you a new one for Christmas. If there is a Christmas this year.
This is Kevin. I think Christmas pretty much should be relegated to just after Thanksgiving. Until, say, December 25th at night, and then wait for another 11 months.
Well, that's interesting, because I think it's year-round, and I've got the doorbell to prove it.
Let's talk about my man Bean.
What are you saying? What's your complaint today?
I do the show with...
Bean has his own theme now.
With a man named Bean, who is, he's...
beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
He makes a lot of interesting choices.
Yes. Me and Perry Como are hanging out on this side. What do you got?
He has moved up to Seattle. He lives on an island. He's got all his animals. And I am not exaggerating. Bean, tell me if I'm exaggerating that you listen to at least one Christmas song about 98% of the days of the year.
Yeah, that's accurate. I'm an enormous fan of Christmas music. It's my very favorite genre.
So odd.
You listen to Christmas music
so
all year long.
Odd. Yes. Like a long song a day, just about.
At least, yeah. Bean has a CD jukebox in which he puts it on, you know, random, so that it just picks a random song. And he's got a bunch of Christmas CDs.
I got about 125 Christmas songs in the jukebox. Yeah, I do. It's my favorite kind of music. And you know, I have occasionally, when we're talking right at the top of the hour, in the background, you'll hear the clock that I have in the other room that chimes Christmas songs at the top of every hour.
Would you kill yourself, Lisa?
Yes.
That's what I...
Dead as a doornail.
I would kill myself.
Are you especially attached to the holiday itself?
Yeah.
Are you
it can't
crazy
be the family
for Christmas?
Gatherings.
Yeah, you don't like the family. That's a good point.
Yeah. You don't like the gatherings.
You don't
so
like
much.
Kids. And
gift giving, you don't seem that big on. I think I like Christmas. Well, I do. I enjoy giving the gifts. You're a good gift giver, but it's not like, you know, you go nuts.
You don't
dress up as Santa or anything for the local children's hospital. I enjoy Christmas entertainment, though. I love the holiday specials. I love the Christmas movies that are on.
Well, explain. Please. What is it about?
I don't know.
Can you stop the music while we have the conversation? Would you mind? Seriously.
I don't know why it is that I like Christmas so much.
Well,
I mean,
come up with a damn reason. Because I'm fed up with you
now. Most people enjoy the holiday spirit around Christmas time.
Yeah.
Nothing like you being.
Christmas time. But that's the thing that makes it special is that it comes once a year, and so you get caught up in that special time of year.
But why should it only come once a year?
Because that makes it special.
Yeah, that makes it special. That's a good point.
Because but Ralph, that's like saying sex is great, so I'm only going to have it once, and I'm not going to have it again for 45 days.
Different.
You know what I mean?
Completely different.
If it's good, why not go with it more often, is what I'm saying.
Because
if you like Chinese food, you don't have it once a year.
I'll give you a perfect example. Would you watch Survivor every night all year?
No, I'm sick of Survivor.
Because there's
West Wing.
Wait a minute, hold on, let me finish. Because there's a season in which you get excited about it, and then you put it away because it's too much.
You take down the tree.
Yep, and you let it go, and then you come back for the next Survivor. It better be another 3 or 4 months from now, and then you'll be ready for it again. That's the point.
You come back with renewed enthusiasm.
Yes. Bean?
really feel that way about Christmas, actually.
We weren't necessarily going to just play music for this whole thing. But here's the point. My man Bean got a new doorbell.
I did.
Don't.
Would you like to hear it?
It doesn't say ho, ho, ho or something.
Listen. I was at the Home Depot the other day, and I was so excited when I found this. So not that anyone would ever come to my house and ring my doorbell, but if they did, here's what would happen.
Oh, dear Lord.
Does that make you want to take your life?
God.
Come on, everybody.
I could not take that year in and year out.
There are 25 different Christmas songs, is that right, on the doorbell?
Yes, that's right.
So every time somebody pushes it, of course nobody will, but I'm sure, I'm positive that Bean steps out and rings his own doorbell and then walks around the house and then goes back
out.
That's
not a euphemism, is it, for something else?
I don't know.
That's a hot item right there, my friends.
I would kill myself. The sound, first of all, those songs, the ones that we hear all the time, are the reason we do a Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, because we're so tired of the same old songs redone. That's why we try to get away from those songs with the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD.
And they sound so crappy.
They sound crappy on that thing.
Well, you're not going to get orchestra quality recordings in a doorbell.
Right. That's why you don't do that. That's why you just have a doorbell. It goes ding dong, done.
This will certainly guarantee that no one will come to your house and bother you, though, Bean, because no one wants to press that button.
I think Bean is really building his life with the intent that nobody is going to want to get anywhere near him. That's his goal.
But Christmas music is something that I listen to alone most of the time anyway.
That's why he drives to the middle of the desert for vacation, because he doesn't want people anywhere around him. He's like a porcupine. The closer you get, the more it hurts.
Okay.
That's Bean.
I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't really apply in this case, because the Christmas music is something that I just listen to every day because I enjoy. It doesn't have anything to do with trying to keep people
away. Yeah, let's not get off track. Let's focus on one aberration at the time.
All right, let's focus on being in the Christmas music. And then,
why don't we talk about my new doorbell some?
All right. Let me just focus on one part of this that Lisa already brought up. The sound of that. Doesn't that annoy you?
It's like one of those Casio recorder things.
It's
just
annoying.
Awful.
Fingernails on the chalkboard sound.
It's not that bad. It's not something that I'd want to listen to a full 3 minutes of a song recorded like that. But I think for 10 seconds, I think it's fine. I think you certainly get the spirit of the number.
Spirit of the number. What do you think, Ralph? You're just sitting there staring at him.
I'm just dumbfounded.
Yeah. How can you guys dislike Christmas music so much?
I love Christmas. I'm one of the, that's my favorite holiday. I love the season and the spirit and the everything that surrounds Christmas, but to string it out all year long,
the bit that we do where we call people and have them take down their Christmas stuff ahead of time, that all came from me, Kevin, because I love Christmas probably more than most people, but it's because I love kids. And I have kids, and I love, but the day after Thanksgiving, I'm ready to hit it 100 miles an hour. And the day after Christmas, it's gone. Mm-hmm. I can't take my tree down fast enough. It's over.
It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite movie. I watch that 3 or 4 times a year throughout the year, for instance. Because it's just a great movie.
But it's like, I wouldn't want my birthday to be every day, because I really enjoy the specialness of that time when, you know, people say happy birthday and give you cards and presents and everything. It's just a nice little moment that marks another year passing.
And it's the moment that's different from all the other moments.
It's not another Wednesday. It's my birthday, you know?
Right.
It's not another...
Guys, somebody's at my door. Hang on.
Yeah. Oh, that just hurts.
Okay, 10 seconds is way too long.
That just hurts.
Actually, you know what? There was nobody at the door. It was just a coyote.
I'm sorry. That he's trained to ring the doorbell.
My mistake.
He put the little doorbell
next to the doggy door
all over the floor so that any animal that steps on it rings it.
Here's all I'm saying, and you're tipping your hands a little bit here about how much you guys are fishing for your own doorbell, but there'll be a little something under the tree from Santa this year.
Was that in the discount bin at the Costco's? I mean, who's selling those in July?
Home Depot, I bought it.
You send that to me, and I promise you, I'll just ship it right on to someone else. Lisa May will get a lovely January 1st present.
You know where I'll shove that, don't you?
Is there a God? Is there life on other planets? These are the kinds of questions that we like to ponder.
And all of those questions are easier to answer than how do you cancel AOL?
Lisa, you used to have AOL.
I did used to have AOL.
How'd that go when you decided maybe you were ready to move on to greener pastures?
Well, I heard how hard it was to get off of AOL.
Right.
I'd heard that from a lot of people. So
they have detox centers.
I did. I did go online to try to find out how I could do it online, and right. I couldn't find any place to do it.
You mean they don't have a, if you want to cancel AOL, here's the number?
They didn't have, well, I thought I could just do it online,
right,
first
of, course.
Of all, but
sure.
you can't. There's
you can't
no
cancel
place.
It.
You have to talk to somebody
you
if you want
to,
okay?
Someone. And then there's no phone number. You can search the AOL website far and wide. There's no phone number to call.
Isn't
to cancel.
That interesting?
So what do you do if you want to cancel?
I went, I did a search for cancel AOL, and I found people's blogs and their stories and stuff, and they listed the phone number. I don't know where they got it. But and then I read all about how they did it, what they said to the person.
No kidding.
And I kind of followed the script, and I called the number, and I was able to do it. But the guy was really so crazy persistent. It was insane.
It's like the Da Vinci Code. You had to follow all these different codes and figure out how to get through.
I guess they figure that a lot of people will just quit trying because it's too hard. Or
obviously.
They'll just go, well, I was going to cancel, but now I don't know how to, so I guess I'll just continue to use it or something. And that's how they make their money is charging you every month. So.
I probably hung on 6 months longer than I would have.
Yeah.
Just
wow.
knowing how hard it was going to be.
Well, that's a story that I've heard many times over the years. And it's back in the news this week. And I don't have anything in front of me on this. Do you know where this guy was from?
Someplace. Okay. Some dude with
this
a phone.
Some dude, someplace with a phone who was in the same spot that Lisa was, finally was able to track down that elusive phone number and tried to cancel his AOL. And here's what happened.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may I help you today?
I want to cancel my account.
Sorry to hear that. But pull your account up here real quick. Can I have your name, please?
Vincent Ferrari.
Been this account for a long time?
Yep.
This is quite a bit. What was causing you to turn this off today?
I just don't use it anymore.
Do you have a high-speed connection like the DSL or cable?
Yep.
How long have you had that? The
years.
High-speed?
Years.
Well, actually, I'm showing a lot of usage on this account.
Yeah, a long time ago. Not recently.
Well, okay. I mean, is there a problem with the software itself?
No, I don't use it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just don't need it anymore.
Okay. So when you use this, I mean, use the computer, I'm saying. Is that for business or for
Dude, what for difference school? Does it make? I don't want the AOL account anymore. Can we please cancel it?
Last year was 540. Last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, explain to me why...
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, man? So, I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with...
Yeah, I am trying to...
Helping me... Listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel
No, it wouldn't, actually.
Cancel
Turn
my
off
account.
Your account.
Cancel the account.
Worst thing that...
Cancel the account.
Okay, because I'm just trying to figure it out.
Cancel the account. I don't know how to make this any clearer for you. Cancel the account. When I say cancel the account, I don't mean help me figure out how to keep it. I mean cancel the account.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what anybody's done to you, Vincent.
Could you please cancel the account?
All right. Someday, when you calm down, you're going to realize all I was trying to do was help you, and it was actually in your best interest to listen.
Wonderful. Okay.
That sounds
wow.
like a joke. Come on, the
no,
guy.
That guy was trying to get him pissed off to hang up so he wouldn't cancel the account.
That was unbelievable how many times he had to say that.
Do we have that number? Because I can't believe that's for real.
You don't think it takes that long to cancel
no.
the account?
No,
I mean, how can it? Once you say you're out, then they don't have any choice. You're legally, they have to cancel you. They can't wrestle you for an hour, can they? Let's dial it up because I... That just sounds like somebody's having us on there. I don't know.
I bet those guys get paid every time they talk you out of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I bet you're right. Probably get money taken out of their paycheck for everyone who cancels.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for calling the AOL Automated Service Network.
Oh, automated is even better.
We here at AOL believe that you belong.
Right.
And while you're on hold, think about upgrading to AOL High Speed for broadband. We think everybody should be fast. Don't you?
We'd like...
Please hold for your menu of selections.
Okay. That was a recording.
It's better, though. It's better. You don't have to talk to somebody. That way they can't spend all your time trying to talk you out of it.
Plus, you get to listen to the snappy music.
Yeah. Why can't they ever get better music?
Hello, and thank you for calling AOL's Automated Service Network.
Hi, we'd like to cancel.
We give you four choices. One, if you'd like to upgrade to high-speed AOL
nope.
for broadband, press 1.
Nope, no.
Two, if you have a comment or suggestion for AOL, press 2.
No.
Three, if you'd like to pay your bill over the phone,
press 3.
How about a cancel?
If you'd like to cancel, press 4.
What? I'm sorry. Can we hear that again?
I'm sorry. You pressed 4. That must have been an accident.
No, no.
That's for canceling your AOL account.
Right.
We'll give you another chance. For 1, press 1.
What?
For 2.
I don't even understand that. What do you mean for 1, press 1?
To upgrade your AOL account to high speed, press 1.
No, we just want 4.
For a comment or suggestion,
hit 4 again.
2.
Just hit 4 again. Let's get
to
past
pay your
this
bill,
menu.
Press 3. You pressed 44.
No.
That's nothing.
I pressed 4.
44 is not an option.
I pressed 4 several
choices.
Times.
1, to upgrade for broadband,
I know what
press
upgrade.
1.
Come on.
Right. 2, for
just
a comment
Kevin,
or suggestion,
hit 4
press
just
2.
Once. Just okay. Hit it once.
To pay your bill, press 3. Hey. What are you doing?
Canceling.
You hit 4 again.
Right.
That's to cancel your AOL account.
Right.
That's insane. Nobody wants to cancel AOL.
We do.
We're the best internet provider on the internet.
We cancel us.
To take it back, press 5.
No, we don't want to take it back. How do we continue? How do we continue?
If you'd like to upgrade to broadband,
no!
Press 2. A comment suggestion, press... Okay. You want to quit AOL.
Yes.
All right. Here are your choices.
All right. Okay, finally.
If you've come to your senses and realize you don't want to quit AOL, press 1.
No, that's not it at all.
If you realize what a horrible mistake you've made in deciding to quit AOL, press 2.
No, we want to quit.
If you'd like some time to think about it, maybe sleep on it overnight, press 3.
We called to cancel.
If you'd like to get a new AOL account, press 4.
No.
If you'd like to sign up friends and neighbors for AOL, press 5.
What about canceling?
If you decided you really want to cancel,
yes.
Hang up.
Hang up.
Hang up.
How that does... will work.
All right, press 6.
We've got all the answers. No one's asking us, though.
I did not make the connection.
We were eating breakfast / lunch yesterday at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. As we do, as we are wont to do.
As we normally do, yes. And
what was the special occasion yesterday? Why did we go to such a nice place? Do you remember?
No, it just seemed like it was some kind of anniversary or something.
Maybe for the holidays or something. We just thought we'd step it up a bit.
Can't remember exactly. But anyway, we go into Taco Bell, and I'm telling you that restaurants before they open, that's probably why the music gets turned up so loud.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because they're prepping
cleaning,
and doing whatever they have to do, and there's no customers. But once the customers comes in, you'd think they'd turn the music down a little.
Lisa, have you had experiences where the music sometimes is way too loud in the restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
I think part of it is that it's noisy back in the kitchen, and they have the music turned up loud so that they can enjoy it where they are with the machinery, and you're sitting out on the other side just at the table, and of course there's nothing else happening, so it's just way too loud.
That's question one. Question two is, how do you ever pick the Neil Diamond Christmas album?
Is that what they were playing?
How's that your musical selection for Taco Bell, for God's sake?
Yeah, I'd like a... Jingle bell,
I'd like a
This is what it was like when we were sitting at the table. Kevin is about two seats away from me. And I said, Kevin, can you pass me the hot sauce?
What?
The hot sauce. Hand me some of that hot sauce.
What?
In the frosty air.
And there's nothing we can do about it. So we go up to the counter.
Yeah.
And we say, anyway, you can turn down the music. And they say, no, that's the preset volume. It's set.
To go gliding in a
we say, but we can't hear.
They said, what?
And then we said, how do you pick Neil Diamond's album blows?
And they said, huh?
They said, we can't hear you. The music's too loud.
I think they just don't want people to eat. I think they don't want people to eat inside the restaurant. I think they're trying to encourage their drive-out business.
You think they were trying to run us off?
Maybe. I don't know. That's what they did in Waco.
What a bright time. It's the right time.
Can we,
the night away.
For the purposes of the show, though, can we turn this off?
What?
Can you kill the music?
You can't hear you. The music's too loud.
Kill it. Get rid of the music.
Oh, turn it off.
Oh, my God. Were your ears bleeding?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
That's, I'm going to be completely honest. Not making this up for the funny man on the radio. That is not far from how loud it was in the restaurant. I mean, it hurt. I had the same thing happen to me on an airplane the other day. The flight attendant came on and started doing the announcements.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, I instantly, my hands and everyone else around me, their hands go right to their ears.
Oh, they have more trouble with the volume on airplanes than any other place on Earth.
My God. Again, I know it's because they're in a different section of the plane and they don't realize what it's like when the speaker's 4 inches from your head.
Right.
But they come on and they start talking about, and the seatbelt. You can never understand a word they're saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're going to go up to about 22,000 feet and I'm going to turn off the fastened seatbelt sign.
Ouch.
Oh, my God. I can't even hear.
Well, we couldn't get anyone at the counter yesterday to talk to us at the Taco Bell about the music, but we thought maybe if we called, you know, being big-time radio DJs or something.
Absolutely.
Maybe always works.
Maybe they can give us some sort of an explanation as to why it needs to be so goddamn loud.
I can't imagine it's preset.
Taco Bell, this is Ron.
Ron?
Ron, hey, it's Kevin and me. We're calling. We're on the air at K-Rock. We're right down the street from your Taco Bell location in Toluca Lake.
What's that?
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah,
what?
We're good.
Is that Christmas music you have playing in the background?
Say that again?
Is that the Neil Diamond Christmas album that's still playing in the background?
Yeah, it is.
How do you pick Neil Diamond?
Oh, I don't pick the music.
Can you please turn it down?
Say that again?
Can you turn the music down, please?
Well, we're supposed to play the music at a set level.
What's that?
He said they have the music at a set level.
That's ridiculous.
Listen, we ate in your restaurant yesterday, sir, and the music was so loud that we could not even hear each other talking across a table.
It was too loud?
Yes. That's what we're saying. We're saying the music is way too loud. Can you, don't you ever hear complaints from customers about it?
Well, actually, the customers seem to like it.
They don't like Neil Diamond, sir.
How do you know you can't hear them?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that the only Christmas music you have is Neil Diamond?
No, we have a, it's on a set. It's a set tape that they send to all of us.
Yeah, you need to change the tape.
And turn it down.
This Neil Diamond Christmas CD just blows from every side.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
never mind.
How are those chalupas moving for you?
Oh, the chalupas are great.
Yeah, well,
very popular.
Please drop them, or whatever is your slogan is.
If you guys come down here, I'll comp you some chalupas.
Okay.
Oh, you'll take care of us on that, huh?
Okay. Well, we would like to, but we can't ruin our ears any more than they already are.
Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, never mind.
All right, Mr. Taco Bell, nice to chat with you. Merry Christmas.
All right, happy holidays.
Right, you
bye
too.
Now.
Bye-bye.
It's unbelievable.
And the music just goes on like that all the time.
Oh, my God.
Serious, I'm not kidding when I say Neil Diamond. You heard it. What the hell?
At that volume?
Who is listening to Neil Diamond?
Anyone at Taco Bell?
Jewish guys should not be allowed to make Christmas records. Yeah. I'm sorry, God, you know, I love Barry Manilow. No. Kenny G, no.
You're right. Jewish.
Jewish guys cannot make Christmas music. It just doesn't work.
And at the holidays, we like to catch up with a Hollywood legend, Charlton Heston.
All right, boys. That's the Yugoslavia shipment. Just load the Zimbabwe order, and we're good to go.
Okay, Santa.
Who could that be? It's Christmas Eve. Go away! I'm busy!
Too busy for me, compadre.
Why, Charlton Heston, what are you doing here? And pulling a gun on Santa?
Can the small talk, fat man? Why haven't you answered my letter?
Because, Chuck, you're 75. I'm not bringing you a dolly that goes poopy in her pants. It's just creepy.
Not that letter. This one.
Let me see that. Dear Santa, I've been a very good old man this year. Won't you please make my dreams come true and bring all the little girls and boys guns this Christmas? Now I remember.
Well, what's your answer, you fat bastard? Do I get my wish, or do I feed your bloated carcass to the reindeer?
Chuck, please, with the guns already. It's Christmas, and there's something very important you need to understand. You're f***ed in the head.
That's it, you pinko commie hippie. Try delivering presents from hell.
I don't think so, Hambone. Drop it.
What?
That's right, you wig-wearing freak. Drop the gat or we turn your ass into figgy pudding.
Elves! Damn you all to hell!
That's right, Chuck. They're small, they're pissed, and they're heavily armed.
All right, let's go, Moses.
Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty elves! You'll never take me alive!
Hit, boy!
Santa!
I'm all right. It's just an ass wound.
I got the shot, Santa.
Take it, Dinky. Take him out. Hold your fire! Heston, can you hear me?
Guns don't kill people. Elves kill people. Compadre.
Boss, is he?
No, Dinky. He's just unconscious. Luckily, your shot hit him in the toupee. There was so much glue, it just bounced off.
Well, what do we do with him now?
Just throw him in the sleigh. Looks like we'll be delivering one more fruitcake to Beverly Hills tonight.
I didn't know the space race was still on.
Well, I know I didn't know that Mexico was in it.
Now, tell me about Space Shuttle Discovery, because it seems like, and I'm not following it all that closely, but it seems like they knew something was wrong, and then they said, well, we can't find what it is, let's just go anyway. And then they went. Right, they couldn't find what caused the sensor to go off, right?
That's right. Right, they had a number of problems on the ground and that delayed the launch, and they thought they took care of it, but they're kind of winging it. They don't really know, and they didn't really know until it went up, and they saw, hey, there's pieces falling off of it just like the last time. That's no good.
Which they thought they had fixed, and which caused the last time it blew up.
Yep.
That's right.
Almost the exact same size pieces came off. So now they're up in space. And they're scrambling to try and fix the problem so they don't explode on their way into Earth. Now, that's some pressure right there.
Yeah, no kidding. It was the first time it had ever happened, Lisa, tell me if I'm right about this, where they sent guys out of a spacecraft like this to fix it on the outside, right?
Yes, and to go under, which they'd also never done before.
To go under it, right.
Under the spacecraft.
So they go under it, and the guy goes out there, and he starts pulling stuff off of it with his hands.
Yes, that's
and he's
right.
got a hacksaw in his pocket in case he needs to use a hacksaw. Right. Listen to this thing. The shuttle is the most complex moving machine ever built by man. It was conceived in the 60s. The current machines are up to 25 years old and weigh 4.5 million pounds. The program cost more than $145 billion, with a B, as of early 2005.
Wow.
And he's out there just pulling stuff off with his hand, and he's got a hacksaw in case he needs to cut it off.
Oh, my God.
I think it's terrifying. And I also don't understand, because I know so little about how spacecraft work, I also don't understand how a little piece of foam fallen off of a ship can blow you up.
I don't either.
I don't know how that happens.
I think they say that they can't predict whether such a small piece of material might create wind friction and heat, and then heat when they're coming back in is what makes the thing explode.
Well, it's very complicated, and I do know that the Discovery is up there now, and it's attached to the International Space Station far out in space, and there's, what, 6 or 7 astronauts up there. And I think if we can go to the secure line, I believe Producer Lightning has figured out a way for us to actually talk with them from the Discovery, which is going to be very exciting for us.
I'm not sure if it's going to work, so bear with us here as we try to get a hold of the Space Shuttle Discovery.
What's up? Hey!
Hello? Is this the International Space Station?
International Space Station? What's up? Hey, who's this? I'm bumping right now. What's happening, eh?
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up, Mom? Say, hey, it's me, Rudy Cisneros, eh?
Rudy?
Yeah,
We talked to you from you're the guy who's... Hey, could you turn down the ludicrous?
Hey, Vato, turn down the music, Vato.
Yeah, turn down the music. You were working for the Mexican Air Force the last time we talked to you. You were tracking UFOs or something,
now
right?
I'm in space. Orale, check it out. I'm like Han Solo.
Wait a minute. You're at the International Space Station?
No, I'm in my ship right by the space station. It's the USS El Camino.
Oh, no kid. What is that? I have not heard about that.
Well, it's like another ship. I'm up here like doing a consultation work or something. Hold on. Scotty, beat me up a lighter.
Oh, jeez. Rudy. But here's what I don't understand.
Hang on, dude.
Okay, there's more here.
There you go. All right.
Rudy, there's a lot of news coverage about the discovery down here, and we've seen the Japanese astronaut, we've seen the Australian astronaut, the American astronauts. They haven't said one word about a Mexican up there.
That's because the media don't like the brown man, eh? They don't want to mention that, like, they had to turn to the Hispanic to fix things, right? Because, look, check it out, check it out.
When
eh?
Did you get up there?
Like, about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago. I don't know, really, eh? Because I was, like, all blunted out. I was hanging out in front of Home Depot. I was hanging out in front of Home Depot, like, looking for work, eh? And this vato comes up with, like, the Poindexter glasses. He's like, I work for JPL or something like that, eh? And he's like, I hear you can fix stuff. And I'm like, whatever, eh? And then they send me up into the, in the ship, into the space, eh?
You mean, wait a minute. You mean that they sent you up to fix our space shuttle Discovery?
I'm a legend, eh? One time we were on our way back from Rosarito from seeing the donkey show, eh? Right. And my cousin, Hugh Grigo, broke down the transmission. I fixed it with like a snorkel and 3 toothpicks and an avocado, eh? And they're like, if you could do that, you could do whatever. You could probably fix our, you know? Because like no Japanese or no Australian know nothing about fixing nothing with like meager tools, eh? Because I can fix, yeah. I made bongs out of like exhaust pipes and a bucket of salsa verde.
All right, I understand. Well, I mean, legendarily, that's where you go for the cheap labor is the Mexican guy out in front of the Home Depot.
That's
so maybe
right.
NASA's trying to cut back on costs a little bit here, too.
Yeah, they were like, we got to pay all our other astronauts like a bunch of money, eh? I was like, I'll do it for a sack of weed and a chorizo burrito, eh?
That's why they didn't want to put out a press release about
that's
it.
Right,
because
eh? They're trying to hide, to keep the brown man down, eh?
Now, when we saw the spacewalk yesterday and the guy was underneath pulling stuff off, was that you?
No, that was my homeboy. Like I said, when the media covers stuff, they got to have, like, the front. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like
so
they had that Japanese homeboy and the Australian homeboy out there doing the work, but I had an earpiece in there. I'm going to take that hacksaw right there, eh? Use the duct tape.
Oh, so you were giving them directions the whole
time?
That's
right, eh? That's right, man. I was like, this ship ain't nothing, man.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Hey, how happy are you, though, that you got your own ship, the SS El Camino, and you don't have to come back on the Discovery, which is probably going to, let's be honest, blow up.
Yeah, my ship's fly. It's on Hydros, eh? I put a sick Raiders mural on the side, eh? It's dope.
Lieutenant Rudy, forgive me for saying this, but why don't you bring the guys back?
Like I said, it's like a covert mission, eh? They don't want anybody to know about it. So, like,
I know, but I'm saying if it's safe, it seems like maybe they should go with you.
My ship's got to land somewhere over, like, Tenochtitlan, eh?
Oh,
so
I see.
So that no one knows where I'm at.
Okay, I got you.
Wow.
I said Tenochtitlan, by the way.
Yes, you did.
I don't think it's been a real city since 300 BC, Vato.
Very impressive, actually. Well, Lieutenant, you're a real hero if you're making that much of a difference up there in space. I mean, that's very, very impressive.
I should be inspiration to you all, eh?
Absolutely.
I'm living in my parents' backyard last week in Boyle Heights. Now I'm in space. I'm up here in space cruising around. Whoop, whoop.
No, it's very impressive.
Hold on. I need a snack. Okay. I need a snack.
That's a snack.
Going back to the bog, huh? I didn't know a bog would operate in space. I thought maybe the gravity would be hard to screw you up there.
I dismantled the smoke detector. Get blunted, eh?
Very nice.
Good idea. All right. Listen, Lieutenant, we're almost out of time. Anyone back on Earth you need to say hello to before we let
right,
you go?
I'm miles away from home. I just want to say what's up to my Haina, my baby, my Ruka, Rosaria Lupita Mejia, Marana de la Jocoya Canal Guerrero.
Right.
Back home, also known as Droopy Face in some parts of Boyle Heights. What's up, Haina? Keep your head up.
Okay.
Daddy's going to be back soon, eh?
All right. Listen, we got to go, Rudy, but thanks for helping out the space station.
My pleasure, Holmes.
All right, we'll check in with you later.
Bye-bye, Rudy.